Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Three Ideas in 30 Minutes, a gastro-unfriendly version. I'd like to thank Stephen Plotzker for bringing some extra refreshments. We have hamburgers, salami,
chicken,
schnitzel, brisket. It's out of control tonight. Baruch Hashem. So we'd like to thank our sponsors for tonight, Deborah and Stephen Plotzker, in commemoration of the yahrzeit of his grandfather, Pinchas ben Yaakov. Our learning should be in Aliyah for his neshama. Amen. And Stephen's going to make a siyum at the conclusion of the shiur. So for those not online, please stay after. I'd also like to thank Caroline Weiss, who's dedicating our shiur tonight for an elevation of the soul of Yonatan Ben Pesach Meir and Bela Leah, a blessed memory. Their neshama should have an Aliyah as well. We also would like to dedicate the shiur tonight for Refuah Shlema for Yehudis Kayla Bas Chana Malka, as we continue to daven for her to have a Refuah Shlema. And as always, we want to thank our very generous sponsor, Dr. Michael and Marilyn Fedak, in gratitude for the many weekly learning opportunities at BRS. We are unbelievably grateful for the four sponsors tonight, and we appreciate you, and we do not take you for granted. And our learning should be Refuah Shlema, Aliyah for the Neshama, whatever it is, it should be for that cause. And as always, our learning is an Aliyah for the Neshama of Esther Tilabas Gabriel Pinchas. Now, I have to start, you know, as you know from last week, Moshe went to Eretz Yisrael yesterday, but his phone's not working. So I have no way of getting in touch with him, but I know he listens to my shiur every week. So at least this is a way I can communicate with my son. So Moshe, I hope you're doing well over there. Remember to text your father, who was sitting on the side of the road yesterday, sobbing in tears. Okay. Idea number one comes from a new source, first time appearance in our three ideas, none other than Rav Yitzchak Blau. Rav Blau points out a fascinating Gemara that appears at the beginning in Sanhedrin. And the Gemara says, I'll read to you in Hebrew, and then we'll read what Rabbi Blau does with this Gemara. The Gemara says, V'yo dayanim yodin es mi hein danim. So the judges have to know exactly who they're judging. You have the English of that on page number one. V'lifnei mi hein danim. And they have to know before whom they are judging. And they have to know who's going to exact payment or punishment from them. In other words, judges have to take what they're doing seriously. They have to understand that there are people in front of them, and that when they judge a case, it's not in an ivory tower, it's not in a vacuum, but it's impacting people's lives in real time. And then they also have to know that if they are incorrect or if they misjudge a case, so they really have to answer to a higher authority. And that is none other than Hashem. Ah, so says the Gemara, a question that many people think when they talk about positions of authority. Shema yomer hadayin mali b'tzar azem. Maybe a judge is going to say, what do I need this headache for? There's so much responsibility. There's so much accountability. What if I'm wrong? What if I make a mistake? So what do I need this headache for? Tama lomar, therefore the pasuk says, yimachem b'dvar hamishpat, ein lo ladayin elamash ein avros. That a judge only has the best information in front of you. In other words, as a judge, the best you could do is with the information that you have. You're not always going to get it perfect, but Hashem says, I understand, so you're going to do the best that you can. Ein lo ladayin, ela masha ein avros. Says Rav Yitzchak Blau, you see from here two distinct but very important points. Idea number one, he writes, is that witnesses and judges must feel the weight of responsibility upon them, as a decent society depends upon the ability of the courts to administer justice. And so when two litigants come before you, it is real. If you judge one person guilty and the other person innocent, you're taking money from one person and giving it to the other. In a capital case, you could be putting someone to death. You could be causing someone to get lashes. There are serious consequences to it. And so therefore he says, number one, as the Gemara says, that a person has to know, lifnei mi hein danin, they have to know before whom they're judging. They have to know that there are consequences to what they are doing. And there he says, what the Gemara is trying to communicate to us, page number two, is the notion that when you're sitting in the courtroom, it's not just Philip Moskowitz adjudicating a case, but rather there's Hashem in the room with us. In other words, that there is a higher authority there with us, and therefore any judge has to feel that awesome sense of responsibility. But then he says on the left-hand side of page number two, with all of this focus on the awesomeness of judicial responsibility, the Gemara is nervous that the prospective judge will abandon his bench in search of another profession. What do I need this headache for? Why do I need that responsibility? Let me go be an accountant. I don't know.
A rabbi.
Well,
wow.
Why get involved in such a great matter when it seems much safer to go into carpentry or shoemaking? Therefore, the Gemara concludes with a reassuring note. Ein l'dayan elama she'enav ros. That a judge has nothing more than what his eyes will see. Any judge that does his best to arrive at the correct ruling will not be responsible for an erroneous decision. That's the Gemara. Those are the two parts of the Gemara. Rav Yitzchak Blau says that there are two corollary parts to this. Number one is Rav Moshe Feinstein is an introduction to Igros Moshe, quotes this Gemara, Ein L'dayan Elamash Ein Avros, to kind of validate how you can write responsa. How can you write tshuva? In other words, you have to balance as a posek, on the one hand, the potential that you could be wrong. Anytime you paskin halacha, there is the potential that you misjudged the case, you misunderstood the question that came before you. That's an awesome responsibility. On the other hand, if you don't paskin halacha, if every posek in the world said, you know what, I don't want that risk, I don't want that responsibility, I'm not going to paskin shilas, well, that would be a massive, tragic, catastrophic void in the Jewish people. So it's a catch-22. On the one hand, we need poskim, we need rabbis that are going to get up there and issue complicated psak halacha. On the other hand, the rabbi does so knowing that he could be wrong. And if he's wrong, again, there can be really consequential results. If a rabbi is mistaken in a nida shaila, if a rabbi is mistaken in a kasher shaila, you know, there are consequences to all of this. It is an awesome responsibility. And so therefore, Moshe, in the introduction, refers to this idea of Ein lo l'dayan ma'ashein avros, that a judge does the best that they can. And he says that's ultimately the job of a posek. The job of a posek is to do the best that they can with the information that they have. Might they get it wrong? There's always that risk. There's always that potential. But Ein l'dayan ela ma'ashein avros. He says, though, further, and this is the idea that I want to build upon. He says, this doesn't just apply to judges, and it doesn't just apply to rabbis, but it applies to individuals as well. Because every one of us, at various points in our lives, if not more often than that, make decisions. Sometimes we make serious, weighty decisions. Sometimes we make decisions that have significant consequences. And we have a phrase in my house, maybe you have it in your house as well, it's called analysis paralysis. Anyone ever heard of that? Analysis paralysis? Analysis paralysis is when you analyze something so much that you become paralyzed and you can't act because you're so busy being paralyzed by the analysis process of it. And so we use it in our house to show that, like, you do the best that you can, you gather as much information as you can, but at some point, you got to make a decision and you can't look back once you make that decision. So he writes, now you understand what the Gemara is teaching every single one of us. Again, why is this the Parsha? Because again, Parsha starts off about Shoftim v'Shotrim, that it's about judges. So he writes here that everyone is a judge in our own homes. And we have to do these two parts of the Gemara. The one part is we have to take decisions seriously. We have to understand that the more we look into the decisions that we make, the smarter decisions they will be. Person has to think hard, seek advice, and become as educated as possible before making such decisions. I reinforce this to my children all the time. Anytime I have to ask a posek, anytime I ask someone for advice, I always tell my kids that. Why? Because I want them to know that that's how you make smart decisions in life. You're not an island of yourself. You surround yourself with smart people. You get the advice of as many smart people as you can, and then you make a decision. So number one is, as the Gemara says, that you have to do your diligence. At the same time, the second part of the Gemara instructs us not to feel crushed by the gravity of these decisions, what I refer to as analysis paralysis. Can't become paralyzed. Oh, I have A or I have B. And you're going to go back and forth and back and forth. And you know what you're going to end up doing? You're going to end up doing nothing. Can't live life that way. He writes, we should have a certain confidence that having worked on the issue seriously, we can arrive at a reasonable decision. It is true that many areas of religious life depend on authority to figures to make the ruling. However, with regard to personal issues, giving up choice reflects a lack of nerve and lack of responsibility. We can appreciate the gravity of the decisions without shying away from the need to make them. In this sense, we are all judges, and indeed, Ein L'dayan Elamash Ein Avros, we take confidence and comfort knowing that the best we could do is the best we can do. We seek advice, we seek guidance, we weigh the decisions, and at some point, you got to make the decision, and that is the best that you come. I think that's a very important lesson. It's an important lesson because so many people are paralyzed by it, and it's an extrapolation that our parsha is not just talking about judges in the classic sense, but it applies and is relevant to every single one of us. That is idea number one. Idea number two comes from the Gra. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of a warning that, you know, sometimes I leave you guessing which is my favorite idea. I am going to be unambiguous and unapologetic that this is my favorite idea tonight. And might even make it into top five, which is a bold statement. We've been doing this shiur now for many years. This might be top five, definitely top 10. Okay, now with that introduction, I don't want to disappoint you. And if I do, you could have your money back, which really doesn't apply to anyone other than Stephen Plotzker here. But so Stephen cannot have his money back. But anyone else, if you don't think this made the top 10, but I think it makes the top 10. This is like a transformative idea. It's going to blow your mind away. And I feel very confident in introducing it in such hyperbole. Here we go. Pasuk in the Parsha tells us, V'kamta ve'alisa elamakom, that there is a system of judging. That there are regional judges, there are community judges, and then as they can't answer the questions, they kind of kick it up the totem pole until eventually, if no one knows the Pesach Halacha, where do they go? They go to Yerushalayim, to the Sanhedrin HaGadol. And there the Pasuk tells us, V'kamta ve'alisa elamakom, that you get up, and you go to the place. I have a very simple question. Why do you need the word vikamta? You get up. It could have just said valisa elamakom. You go up to the place. What does it mean? Like you stand up and then you go to the place. How else do you go to the place? You're going to crawl? You're going to sit? No, of course. You're sitting in a chair. Vikamta. You get up. Okay?
Where is it on?
Bottom left-hand side. We're going to get to it. Okay? That's question number one. Question. So Rashi writes, vikamta valisa. I'm not on the page yet. Vikamta ve'alisa, Rashi says, this is to teach us that Eretz Yisrael is higher than any other, the Yerushalayim is higher than any other city. That's why the Vikamta ve'alisa, you have to go up and up and up because Yerushalayim. My son went to Yerushalayim, he just landed this morning. So I saw it took him 1 hour 48 minutes to get to Yerushalayim today because I track him. I'm that kind of a dad. I have an app that tracks him everywhere he goes. Even if he can't call me, the phone's still tracking him. That's a warning to you also, Moshe. Anyways, right? So 1 hour 48 minutes. Why? Because you all know the road. You know the road. There you go, Avenue Shalim. It gets insane traffic, and then your ears start popping because you're going up the whole time. Says Rashi, that's Vikamta ve'alisa. But the Gra says that it can't be that. How does he know that? He knows that because there's a pasuk in Sefer Bereishis. And the pasuk in Sefer Bereishis says, Vayakam Sedei Ephron. That the field of Ephron was Vayakam, it got up. Of course, we're talking about Avram and, right, buying the field. Maras HaMachpelah. So what does Vayakam stay Ephron? That the field gets up. Can't mean physically that it gets up. He says, I'll prove to you again that the Pasuk, and this is where we have this, again, for those who are listening online, I'll post the shiur, but it's in the Gra on Divrei Hayamim. The Pasuk says, Vayakam David HaMelech al Raglav. That David HaMelech stood up on his feet. How else did David HaMelech gonna move? Of course he stands up on his feet. The word Vayakam, therefore, says the Gra, cannot mean that he stands up. It has to mean something else. He writes,
it says Al-Rag love, so how? He has to stand up.
Exactly. So what do I need the word Vayakam from? So he writes that there's a difference between Lashon Amida Vekima. There's a difference between Amida. Amida Ya'amod. La'amod means to stand up. In Kima. Hushamida yavin ba'omid al raglav. Amida means to stand on your feet. Now, if that's the case, then we're even more confused. It should have said, Vayamod David HaMelech al raglav. So what does Vayakam mean? If Vayamod or Amida means to stand up on your feet, to physically get up, what does Vayakam mean? Therefore, he writes, Lashon kima nemar, shalohunach al atakam yeshiva l'amida. Vayakam does not mean that you go from a sitting position to a standing position. Ella, turn the page. Hunach ala takas adam o achefetz meinyan shayabo alinin acher. It's any time you elevate yourself, any time you raise yourself from one position to another position, from one purpose to a higher purpose, from one set of expectations to a higher set of expectations. Once you've transformed yourself, that transformation is vayaka. So Vayakam is not physically going from sitting to standing. Vayakam means that I've elevated myself from a lower purpose to a higher purpose. From someone with lower expectations to something or someone that I have higher expectations of. Me'inyan shayabo, from something that I used to be to something that I am now. Even though, afal pi shelo isnanei gufo me'yashchiva, I haven't moved my body at all. Which means that you could be sitting in this room right now and you can be vayakam, even if you don't get out of your chair. If you raise your expectations of yourself, then you are vayakam. You have transformed yourself. It's not a physical description, but rather it's a spiritual, emotional, existential description of who you are. That is a mind-boggling idea. Says the Gra, now you understand. Is there an earthquake going on in here? At the AC? Right? Now, says the Gra, you understand vayakam ste Ephron. How does the field stand up? No, it means that when the field went from Ephron to Avram, it now becomes a different field. It's now been elevated. It has a new purpose now. It went from Stam, a field in Chevron, to now it became Maras Machpelah, that's going to be one of the most elevated places in all of Jewish history. So Vayakam Ste Ephron means that it becomes transformed. It goes from a lower status to a higher status. He writes, now we understand Vayakam Melech, David HaMelech Al Raglav. David HaMelech wasn't just standing up, but David HaMelech was elevating himself. He was transforming the person that he was. All of that's a beautiful idea. And a beautiful description of the word Vayakam. Now, like any good magician, I'm going to pull a rabbit out of my hat and I'm going to blow your mind away. Blow your mind away. Here we go. Ready? The Gra, I'm sorry, brings the Shulchan Aruch, Magen Avram, Ber Hetiv, a whole combination of the two of them in there. We know that the Rama writes that in the morning a person has to be Yukam Bezrizus. We have to get up with alacrity, which means that when your alarm goes off in the morning, you know what you don't do? Snooze, snooze, snooze. Noam, I'm talking to you. Rather, when your alarm goes off in the morning, it's okay, I got a month to apologize to you. Right? When you get up in the morning, you don't press snooze. You got to, you come as reasons, jump out of bed. Okay? The Ber Hetiv, the Magen Avram, say, how can you do that? The Ber Hetiv says, Ela Yishe Ma'at. The Ber Hetiv basically says, you're not supposed to get up so quickly. It's not so good for you. You ever get up too quickly in the morning? What happens sometimes? Oh, you're like a little dizzy. You got to sit down in your bed a little bit. You're wondering, maybe you're dehydrated, right? Sometimes it's not so good to jump out of bed. You can get dizzy. You got to trip. You got to be careful, says the Barrington. You got to get up a little carefully. It's better after, by the way, after eating this meal tonight, guys, don't jump out of bed in the morning, all right? So what does it mean, you come as Rizas? That's the kasha. It's an unanswered kasha, the Magen Avram says. How can the Rama say, you come as Rizas, if others say, then don't get up so quickly, it's not so good for you. So he says, now we understand, it's not physical. That when the Rama tells every single one of us, tomorrow morning, you come as Rizas, that you should get up with alacrity, it doesn't mean physically jump out of bed. That could be dangerous. It means you come as Rizas, that when you open your eyes in the morning, and you say, Modani Lefanecha, you know you have the ability to say, you come, I'm different, Vayakam, Phila Moskowitz, I'm a different person. Yesterday, I may have made mistakes. Yesterday, I may have fallen short of my expectations. But you know what, this morning? Vayakam, Gabriel Pinchas, that Phila Moskowitz is standing up this morning. I'm a new person. I'm elevating myself. I'm transforming the person that I am. Now we understand the Ramah that we say every morning. Yukam Bazrizus, that we have to get up with alacrity. Not because we're physically getting out of bed with alacrity, but that we're existentially jumping out of bed, spiritually jumping out of bed, because we understand that we have a higher purpose, and that we have a higher calling, that we're here to serve Hashem. So who wants to spiritually stay in bed? Again, the imagery of staying in bed means that you're lazy. It means that you have people don't get out of bed. It's because they have no purpose. They have no reason to get out of bed. But a Jew, you come as Rizus. I'm elevating myself. I'm transforming myself. I'm taking myself from lowly Philip Moskowitz to recognizing that today I can crush it and I can elevate myself even higher and higher.
How do you
it fits perfectly, by the way. That's exactly what it is. The question for those listening online, he says, how do you answer that with Vayakam Melech Hadash? Remember, there are two comments the Gemara doesn't understand. Is it a real new king? Or is it the same king that what? Just changed. Well, he changed, but it's a transformation. It's a change.
It's a negative transformation.
Okay. Yeah, maybe it's because he was part of the Geula, right? That was like the process of the Geula. I don't know, but it's a, I think it fits. I think it fits. I think it fits. Anyways. The pasuk in the parsha, v'kamta ve'alisa. I don't know the exact pasuk. I don't have it in front of me. But, you know, I know the pasuk. I don't know. He's asking like parak pasuk.
No, it's not on the page.
Oh, it's not on the page because this is from Divrei Yamin. Anyways, I think this is like a mind-boggling idea. Not only does it make an unbelievable Dvar Torah at your Shabbos table, v'kamta ve'alisa. You can ask people, what does it mean? Stand up. How does a field stand up? Vayakum ste'afron. You're going to tell people that's not physically standing up. That it's existential and spiritual transformation. And then you're going to say, this is my homework every morning. It's something we're going to work on. Then we get out of bed during the month of Elul. Every single person at this Chabura, we're not just going to jump out of bed, but we're going to vayakam. We're going to understand the purpose of Elul. The purpose of what we're going to accomplish over the next 40 days is vayakam, to transform ourselves, to recognize that despite any mistakes or shortcomings that we may have had over the past year, vayakam, we have the ability. Every single morning we say modani, to transform and to elevate ourselves from one status to the other. Now we come back to the pasuk, by the way, vakamta ve'alisa, why Yerushalayim? Because Yerushalayim, it's not just about, right? You know, I was just in Eretz Yisrael a few weeks ago. The mall that you walk through on the way to Shar Yafo has some really great restaurants. Right, I ate there, I think, 3 consecutive nights. But there's a part of it that you like stop and you say, this isn't Yerushalayim. Right, Yerushalayim isn't just malls and it's not just shopping and it's not, right, just fancy apartments. Right, Yerushalayim is vekamta ve'alisa. It's to remind us that when we go to Yerushalayim, it's much more than that. Yerushalayim is the holiest city. And so sometimes you have to look past the outside, the external that we see in Yerushalayim, to remember what internally, what in its pnimius, Yerushalayim represents. So Vekamta Ve'alisa was a warning to generations to never be satisfied with a superficial understanding of Yerushalayim, but Vekamta, to always remember that Yerushalayim is the highest and the holiest of all places. That is idea number 2. Again, definitely top 10, maybe even top 5. You may have intuned that from my passion in saying over that idea. Idea number 3 is a curveball. First time also. We had 2 first times tonight. 3 first times tonight. We had hamburgers for the first time. We had Rav Yitzchak Blau for the first time. And now, for the last trick up my sleeve, we have an idea that's not from the Parsha. Because I'm going to give you an Elul idea tonight. Now, the bonus of this is you now have 4 Shabbosim that you could say this Dvar Torah over. So you're going to have it in your back pocket. And whatever Shabbos meal you're going to be at, you can use this now 8 times, Friday night, Shabbos, lunch, depending on who your company is. Here's the idea. Idea number 3 comes from Usher Weiss. Rav Usher Weiss points out the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. That one pasuk we know very famously, it's the acronym of Elul, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. On the other hand, we have another pasuk, and it also appears in Shir HaShirim, Dodi Li V'Ani Lo, my beloved is to me, as I am to him. So which one is it? Is it that we are chasing after Hashem, or is it that Hashem is chasing after us? Who is the suitor chasing after, and who's the one being chased? Okay, is it ani l'dodi v'dodi li, or is it dodi li v'ani lo? Who's the one who's creating it? Who's the one who's doing the chasing? Who's the one who's starting the process off? So he writes here, this can be understood in the context of a medrash. This medrash appears in Eicha Rabasi. Amr Knesset Gedola Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Knesset Yisrael says before Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Shelchahu, Hashem, you must take the first step. How do we know that? It's a pasuk we're going to say over and over and over again over the next 40 days. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'nashuva. Hashem, if you start, if you initiate, then V'nashuva, then I'll come back. So Amar Lahem, Hashem says back to us, no, Shelachemu. I'm not the one who has to take the first step. You're the one who has to take the first step. Shenemar, as the pasuk in Malachi says, Shuvei lai ve'ashuvei lechem. First you have to return to me, Hashem says, and only then I will return to you. So which one is it? It's debate. We say to Hashem, Hashem, you initiate. And when you initiate, we'll return. Hashem says, no. First you initiate. And once you initiate, I'll return. How do we understand this? Says Rav Asher, we long for Hashem to bring the galus to an end. We fill our hearts with inspiration for tshuva. and to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael, where he will dwell among us in the Beis HaMikdash forever. We imagine that Hashem will set the procedure in motion. In other words, Hashem will initiate it, which will fulfill all these dreams. But Hashem demands of us that we must take the first step. After we have begun to return to him and express our love for him, then, and only then, he will return to us and show his reciprocation of our love. Rav Hirsch writes, this is the imagery that so many of us are familiar with it, right? That Hashem says he's going to lift us al kanfei nesharim, that he's going to lift us onto the wings of eagles, and he's going to be brought you to me, and he will bring us to me. Rashi explains that what's the imagery of an eagle? The imagery of the eagle is, he says, that an eagle flies higher than all other birds. It fears only the archer that will shoot it from below. So if we're on top of an eagle, and an archer tries to shoot the eagle, it's not going to hit us. What's it going to hit? It's going to hit the eagle. It therefore carries its young upon its wings, reasoning, better that the arrow hit me and not strike my children. That's what Hashem's saying. Hashem's saying, I'm going to lift you on the wings of eagles. Hashem says, I got your back. I'm going to protect you. I'll take the arrow for you. I'll take the bullet for you. But he writes, Rav Asher writes the following. The eagle's young enjoy the best possible protection. However, they must first make the effort to climb onto the eagle's wings and hold on tightly, since the eagle does not have arms long enough to lift them up or hold them in place. In other words, the eagle will protect us, but we have to take the first step and put the effort to climb on the eagle. And if we take that first step, then the eagle will protect us. Says Rav Asher, the same is true of the physical and spiritual protection that Hashem offers his children. He descends to help us during the month of Elul. But we must make the first effort to ascend in tshuva and thus climb onto his proverbial wings. Now we understand, he writes, the Medrash, which writes, Pischu li Pesach kepischo shel mechad ve'ani aftach lachem psachim shiyu agalos v'kronos overim bahem. Hashem says, make me an opening that's no wider than the eye of a needle. And if you do that, then I'll blow it open wide enough for wagons and carts to drive through. In other words, Hashem says, you have to put in the effort. If you create that little hole for me, if you make a little bit of an effort, Hashem says, then I'll reciprocate, I'll meet you halfway, and I'll take you the rest of the way. Similar to the imagery of the eagle. If you so much as climb onto my wings, Hashem says, if you put in a little bit of effort, then I'll take care of the rest. Then I'll protect you, and I'll take care of you. And so it started off as the acronym for Elul, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. That, when we said, which one is it? Is it Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li, or Dodi Li V'Ani Lo? Who's the one who's initiating? Who's the one chasing the other? And the answer is that Hashem says, I'll chase you. I'll help you. I'll protect you. But first, you have to put in a little bit of an effort. And that was the Medrash. That yes, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha V'Nashuva. We say to Hashem, Hashem, return us to you. But Hashem says back to us, Shuva Elai V'Ashuva Elechem. First, you have to take that first step. And that's really, my friends, what the month of Elul is about. The month of Elul is recognizing that Hashem has given us a gift. It's a gift that doesn't make logical sense, doesn't play by the laws of nature, which says that I did something wrong, but Hashem says, you can do tshuva for it, you can repent to it. Not only can you repent for it, but I'll make your sins, the Gemara says, as if they're zchuyos. I'll turn them into merits for you if you do tshuva properly. Makes no sense, it's illogical, it's irrational. It's the gift of Elul, it's the gift of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, it's the gift of tshuva. But Hashem says, first, what do you have to do? You have to take the first step. You have to put in a little bit of an effort. You have to try just a little bit harder during the month of Elul to take on a Kabbalah, to take on a commitment, to do something a little bit differently. And Hashem says, if you put in that little bit of an effort, then Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, then Hashem says, I will help you, I'll guide you, I'll protect you, I'll watch over you. But only if you open up that window just a little bit for me and let me in. And that's our job. Our job is not to get the whole job done. It's very hard. It's almost impossible. Hashem says, if you at least open the door for me, then I'll climb through. So we saw three ideas in just under 30 minutes. Idea number one was Yitzchak Blau about the decision-making, that we have to take decisions seriously, but we can't have analysis paralysis. Ein l'dayan, elamash ein avros. Idea number two, top 10, perhaps top 5, the Gra about Vekamta. What does it mean to get up? Yakum bezrizus. Doesn't just mean physically getting up. but it means raising our expectations of ourselves from something low to something much higher. That's what we do during Elul. Elul is aspirational. It's when we have aspirations for ourselves. We say to ourselves, you know what, I can be more, and I want to be more. That's Vikamta. That's how we wake up every single morning. Idea number three was an idea for Elul of Ani Ledodi Vidodi Li. Hashem says, yes, I'll help you, I'll come to you, I'll chase you. But first, you have to put in a little bit of an effort. And that, of course, is what the month of Elul is about. And with that, I wish everyone a good Shabbat.